Blackhawks Live.
Fire, score!
Let's go Blackhawks!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, time to talk hockey.
Very much looking forward to this Blackhawks season. New coach, Jeff Blasio, he has not been taking it easy on them. Blasio told the players, this won't be a normal training camp. I don't want this to come across as disrespectful. It's the first time in a long time that the Blackhawks have had a legit NHL head coaching staff from top to bottom.
Facts are facts. It's time for Blackhawks Live.
It's time!
Are you sure?
It's time!
Sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Here's Charlie Remiliotis.
Welcome in to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Remiliotis here, as always, on a Monday night with my guy, Jack Heinrich. Show number two for us for the season. What's going on, Jack?
Nothing. I was just watching a movie, getting ready for my movie review later, so I'm trying to get in the hockey mode as a football movie. So
I did interrupt when you were doing some homework of watching the movie for Landecker's show. So I'm excited to listen in on that one. How about the Chicago sports weekend?
That was fun.
Hawks went 2-0 in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Got a big Bears win, and the Cubs are preparing for their postseason on tomorrow.
Yeah, and the White Sox won their final game of the year. We'll throw them in a little bit. But
look at that.
We're winning.
The tide is starting to turn. It's Let's get into the Blackhawks weekend specifically. They had a preseason game on Saturday in St. Louis. First two periods, didn't go so great. A little bit of boring hockey. And then the onslaught in the third period where the Hawks score four goals to win that game against the Blues. And then the next day in Minnesota was the bigger story, because a lot of the bigger guns were participating in that. Specifically, Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar. And the two of them teamed up for all four of Chicago's goals. Three of them came by Frank Nazar, who had a preseason hat trick. And as I was watching the game, Jack, it just felt like this could potentially be a microcosm of what Frank Nazar's season could be this year, where he might not be on the radar as far as NHL fans, but when he got that contract extension over the summer where he earned the 7-year contract extension, which was the most money, I thought I saw the most money in term that a player has gotten with fewer NHL games, with like as many games as he did.
Like 50 or something.
Yeah. And so maybe it raised some eyebrows across the league. But then when you see what he's been doing, what you saw at the Worlds, what he did in the preseason game, it feels like a Frank Nazar breakout season is coming for Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you back it up in the preseason, right? You wanted to
I had to clear out my mic there. You wanted to see what he's got, and sometimes it's either the player gets the extension and they're comfortable, or sometimes they feel like they have to live up to it. So it's just a preseason, but I mean, he looks, you're seeing a lot of his personality with the goal celebration and on social media. So he's in a good mood, and
we are going to get into this.
Yeah. The 6-7, and he looked good, and that's what you want to see. And hopefully he can keep backing up as it goes on, but a good first impression. You got him and Bedard out there. And hopefully now they got the three games at home, so the home fans can enjoy it.
So we put out on social media earlier today, how many points will Frank Nazar record this season? And we gave out five options: 40 or below, 41 to 50, 51 to 60, 61 to 70, or 71 or more. And we had 4% say 40 or below. So we're going to get those pessimistic fans out of here. I don't know what you guys are thinking, because I think Frank Nazar, what did he have last year? He had 26. But if you project, he had 26 points in 53 games last year. If you project that over the course of an 82-game season, he was on a 40-point pace. So the way he finished, though, last season, he had 9 points, 5 goals, 4 assists in his final 8 games. So he was a point
per
game player.
Game winner in that last game too.
Yes. Yeah. The Montreal, was the Montreal game or Ottawa? I think it was Ottawa. Actually,
Ottawa. Yeah.
Yeah. Ottawa, set up by Connor. So he was at a point per game pace in the final month of the season, and then he goes to the Worlds and he performs so well for Team USA. He led the Americans with 12 points in 10 games. So he was more than a point per game pace playing at the Worlds. And so what we saw in the preseason than what we saw at Worlds and the final month of the season for Frank Nazar last year. My prediction this year, Jack, is I think he's going to be in the 61 to 70 range. My official prediction is 62 points. So I have him at 26 goals and 36 assists, mainly because I think he's going to get a lot of 5-on-5 time, but he's not only going to be on the first power play unit in that bumper role, he's also going to be a penalty killer, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a few cookies on the penalty kill as well.
Well, how many breakaways did he have last year is like one of the storylines.
Quite a few.
Yeah, and you just finish on a few of those, that helps the goal total. So I'll go 51 to 60, and I kind of feel low saying that now that you've told me the projections and all that. But
yeah, and if you have him at 60,
yeah,
that's still on the higher
end. I'm pretty close. Yeah.
We'll be two away.
We'll go 60, yeah. And okay. Then, I mean, that'd be huge. If you're at the end of the year and Connor plays all 82 and he's looked pretty good in the preseason so far and he's a point per game and you got Nazar at 60 points, now you're starting to cook with something with the young players and you're seeing the future.
All right, lastly, before we get to a break here, what's going on with the 6-7? I don't understand it. I've tried to figure out the source of it, and I still don't know if I have figured it out. Did it start with like some? Was it like LiAngelo Ball that it started with him, and then it ended up with like this high school student creating a TikTok, and he did like the 6-7. I don't understand it. It's kind of bothering me, and I don't want to understand it. Honestly, sometimes when I see those viral trends, I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. Like when you identify the original source, I don't understand this one. It's kind of funny that you walk into the Blackhawks locker room and it's like all over like their TikToks.
Oh, yeah.
And it's actually pretty funny the way they're leaning into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just genuinely don't understand. I think I'm getting old, man.
Yeah, I don't really get it either. I did ask Eli Burke, one of our other producers here who does a lot of sports stuff, and he's pretty in tune with the internet. So he just said it was, I think it wasn't a song, and then somehow it got viral. Like you said, maybe somebody did it, and then it went viral. But I don't really get it either. I saw him do it, and once I saw your tweet saying you didn't understand it, so I was trying to look into it yesterday. I didn't get it either. So maybe we're both getting too old.
Whatever. I'm getting old, man. We're both definitely getting old. All right. On the other side of the break, we're going to have Mike Palm from Circa join us. He's a friend of the show. I'm looking forward to catching up with him. We'll talk about some Blackhawks odds and NHL odds as a whole coming up next on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. We're going to bring in the VP of operations from Circa and a friend of WGN Radio, Mike Palm. Mike, first off, I wish we were doing this at a cabana in Vegas right now, but this will suffice.
Yeah, Charlie, it's like the perfect weather in Las Vegas too. It's about 82 degrees right now. Highs in the mid 80s in the afternoon. It's a little cool, dipping down into the mid 60s at night. So it's really, we get like 2.5-3 really good months a year, and this is one of those times.
This is definitely one of those times because you have the NFL, college football overlapping. You have MLB postseason, hockey, basketball about to start up. Like this is like a dream, I'm sure, for over there.
How about tomorrow on a Tuesday? You get 4 wild card game ones, and you get a Fever Aces right here in Las Vegas, game 5. It's a hell of a Tuesday.
Ooh, I love it. Well, we'll be rooting on the Cubbies from over here, but let's get on to the Blackhawks and the NHL. I know the last couple of years have not gone the way that they have wanted, but what are the odds makers saying about what the Blackhawks can be? They obviously got a new coach. They're gonna give the keys to the young players this year. They're probably, I'm sure, going to be more towards the bottom of the NHL, but how do you view them this year?
Charlie, the markets are telling us they're not towards the bottom. They are the bottom. their point total is over under 68.5. The bet is available, which team will have the fewest points. They are the co-favorites with the San Jose Sharks. They're both plus 190 for that. The Penguins are the third choice at plus 355, and then you got to go like 18-1 the next team. So those three are really taking all the money in the worst record market. They're 20-1 to make the playoffs, Charlie. You can get 20-1 in the Blackhawks to make the playoffs. 700-1 to win the Central, 1,000-1 to win the Stanley Cup. In terms of individual awards, what you mentioned about Jeff Blaisdell coming over, he's actually the shortest price of anyone or anything associated with the Blackhawks. He's 33-1 to win the Jack Adams Award. Spencer Knight, who I guess for me, it's the reason you could give the Blackhawks a little bit of hope of improvement this year. It's 350-1 for the Vezina and Connor Bedard, 350-1 for the Rocket Richard Trophy. So what the market is telling you is the Blackhawks are going to be very, very bad.
Yeah, and I think we're expecting that this year, but with the new coach and with the young players, it's going to be, I think the losses are going to be more competitive than they were last year. And so hopefully that comes to fruition. Everyone over here wants to know about Connor Bedard. And last year it was his first full 82 game season. Obviously he missed 14 games with the jaw injury. What are potentially his point projections this year? I think when he first started, like his rookie year, it was like 67.5 or so. Where do the odds have him at year three? Could he flirt with a point per game, or is it still an uphill battle for him to get there?
Let's see. I'm going to look at the market and see what the high and the low is.
Because I know
projected here.
I think last year I want to say he was maybe around 71.5 ish. And
I saw 70.5, 71.5, and this year the market is anywhere from 74.5 to 75.5 for him, so not quite a point of game yet. I saw the poll of the GMs about who will be the face of the league in 5 years, and he did get three first place votes. Declan Calabrini in San Jose, I think, got over 20, which was interesting. Maybe more of a two-way player.
Right.
Look, you're right. They have a young nucleus. Maybe they're a year away from being a year away right now with the Blackhawks. And certainly, you certainly wouldn't expect the kind of futility they've had the last couple of seasons. I think they'll be able to compete better. You know, the second periods are a good telltale sign when you're getting beaten second periods. It's really about your talent because of the long change. And I think they'll be more competitive. And I honestly think Spencer Knight has a shot to find a new home here and make this team his own. And he showed signs of brilliance in Florida. So I don't know. I went over 68.5 for their point total. That doesn't mean they're going to make the playoffs, obviously. There's a lot of room in between there. But I do not think they're going to be the worst team in hockey this year. I there's other teams I want to fade Mel on playoffs much more than the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think so too. Even just with the new coach bump, it just feels like you get that first year is always like a jolt of energy. And so I agree. I think they'll be in the low 70s, but yeah, they'll likely be towards the bottom of the standings. You mentioned Florida. They're obviously the back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Chicago goes there on opening day. Unfortunately for the Panthers, they lose Alexander Barkov with a torn ACL and MCL, so he's going to be out for the season. How much have the odds changed since that injury? Because I believe they were the favorite to three-peat, but I've seen that the odds have dropped significantly since the injury.
Yeah, and their point total. I bet them under, my biggest bet, Charlie, was under 105.5 points for Florida. This was before Barkov. I made this bet 3 days before the Barkov news. But my reasoning was they really don't care. I mean, they were the 3 seed out of their division last year. They just want to get in. They just want to get in the bracket. They know they can win on the road. Right. Chuck was going to be out till maybe Christmas, right? So I said they're not pushing themselves. So I went under 105.5. I think it's down to 97.5 off of the Bedard injury. I actually took 3-1. They missed the playoffs. I think it could be that or the Barkov injury. I think it could be that bad for them. And then when you talk about Stanley Cup odds, they were close. So like everybody's all, there's a bunch of teams at 7-1 and they were at plus, they were at plus 650. They were the favorites. And then all of a sudden, with the injury news, all the other teams that were at 7-1, we moved down to plus 675. And then we took the Panthers from 7-1. And maybe this is a little bit of an overreaction, all the way up to 9-1. But I think it's that because he is really, Barkov is really the straw that stirs the drinks with them. So
right.
We'll see. It's a challenge trying to three-peat. You know, you play all these extra games every year. And we always say, look, Tampa at the end, again, their legs get tired. But Tampa's actually one of the co-favorites at plus 675 right now, along with Carolina. And I mean, there's a host of the Avalanche. You know, there's a bunch of the Knights. Because we don't really know, and the Oilers. We don't really know where to put everybody. Put everybody about equal to start the year. I mean, who's betting anybody at 7-1 to win the cup anyhow? It's ludicrous.
Right.
So, but you know who was the shortest price all year long were the Hurricanes last year. From preseason all the way through the playoffs until they were eliminated, they were the shortest price. And what did that get the bettors? Absolutely nothing.
Right. I've never been able to buy into Carolina because they just don't have that game breaker. So we'll see with them. That would be music to Chicago's ears if Florida is flirting with potentially missing the playoffs because, as you know, obviously the Blackhawks made the big Seth Jones-Spencer Knight trade last year, but Chicago also got Florida's first-round pick in that. And so if that ends up being a more of a mid-range pick than a later first-round pick, that would be a huge bonus for Chicago.
Yeah, you don't even consider that at the trade time. You think it's a bottom, very bottom
right.
first round, but it could be upper half, legitimately.
Right. Well, I love it. Michael, thank you so much for, I called you Michael, but it's Mike. Thank you so much for having us. Looking forward to chatting with you throughout the season. I know we're gonna try to get you on pretty regularly here, but thank you for providing some insight and look forward to chatting down the road.
My pleasure. Love WGN. Love John Williams at the noontime hour. And Charlie, next time you're going to be in Vegas, let me know.
Absolutely. You will be one of the first people to know. Trust me.
All right, buddy. Have a great night.
I love it. Thanks, Mike. You too. That is Mike Paul from Circa in Vegas. I got to meet Mike when we were in Vegas at the Stadium Swim last year, and it was nice. We were doing this from a poolside cabana, so hopefully we'll be able to do that again down the road. Coming up next, we're going to break down some of the opening night roster decisions that the Blackhawks are trying to finalize right now. So Jack and I are going to have that coming up next on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich. And Jack, I totally forgot about something when we were talking about Frank Nazar and the poll. How many points will Frank Nazar finish this season with? I forgot to reveal the final results. I only said the 4% that voted 40 or below. I called that fan out, or the fans out that voted for those. All right. So the full results, 15% had 41 to 50 points for Frank Nazar, 26% 51 to 60, 29% was the front runner for 61 to 70. And then we had 26% of fans 71 or more.
That'd be fun. So
that would be fun. That's a quarter of the fan base that believes he's going to be 71 or more. So only 19% believe he's going to be 50 or below. So 81% of the people that vote on this poll feel like he's going to be at least 51 points or higher. So
it's hard to get the people to agree on a lot. We're in unison.
It is. All right, let's get into some of the roster battles that are happening with Chicago. We are down to the final week of training camp. I'm looking at this, I think rosters are actually due a week from today, NHL rosters. And so the Hawks have made several larger waves of cuts recently. They made one after the preseason game over the weekend, and then they made more today. So they are down to 30 players, technically. So 30 players technically, but they're actually down to 27 players because three of those players are injured. Laurent Brossoit, Joey Anderson, and Ty Henry. They're likely going to be going on injured reserve at the start of the season. So the Hawks can't do anything with them. So they're just naturally still part of the roster. So they're essentially at 27 players, and you got to get down to 23. So there are four more cuts at least to be made. And I think this is what's fascinating about the training camp battles that are going on right now, because the Hawks can kind of take this in a couple different directions. So how do I want to do this? Let's go through like the forwards, then defensemen. The goalies are obviously set. So like with the forwards specifically, Ryan Donato, Connor Bedard, Andre Burakovsky, that's a slam dunk going to be a line. Teuvo Teravainen, Frank Nazar, Tyler Bertuzzi, that's the second line. If you look at the third line, Jason Dickinson and Ilya Mikheyev are going to be staples there. Who is that third line wing spot is kind of up for grabs. It started with Landon Slaggart at the beginning of training camp. Then he got hurt a little bit. So Lafferty and Foligno have kind of filled into that role. Foligno seems like a guy that obviously is like a slam dunk. So that's nine players that we've called a slam dunk. So now here are the rest of the guys. Slaggart, Colton Dock, Sam Lafferty, Lucas Reichel, Oliver Moore, Ryan Green. That's six players and three everyday spots up for grabs, and then probably an extra forward, maybe maybe two. I'm not sure if they want to carry 14 forwards. I don't think they would want to. So if I was looking at this, if I was projecting this, I think Sam Lafferty is a slam dunk, honestly. I've seen people think like he might be that the extra forward. Like, I think he's like an everyday player out of the gates. I think Landon Slaggart is as well. And I'm probably going to give the final spot to Colton Dock, which leaves Reichel, Moore, and Green on the outside.
It's a big week for Reichel.
Big week for Reichel. And I we'll see what happens between now and the opening, when the opening night rosters are due. I'm still not convinced that Reichel will be part of this moving forward. Having said that, I wouldn't be surprised if he is still on the opening night roster and he is the 13th forward and they send Oliver Moore and Ryan Green down to Rockford so Moore can go on the Frank Nazar plan from last year, maybe play the first half of the season there, and if he really is tearing it up, then he gets an early call-up. And then with Ryan Green, I don't think it makes sense to have Ryan Green make the opening night roster only for him to be the fourth line center. Like, I'd rather when he gets called up, he's playing more of a middle six role. And so that's how I would handicap it right now. I would say as is, I think Reichel would be the extra forward and Moore and Green start the season in Rockford.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's nice this year too. It's the battle of more of the young guys too, and let those guys get the spots. But I think that makes sense. I know Moore scored the go-ahead goal on, what was it, Saturday to beat the Blues. So
yeah, a wonky goal, by the way. Yeah, it was the fight happening in the background. It was one of the weirdest goals I've seen.
It was funny because he scored and was looking for everybody, and they're all just like beating each other at center ice.
He said after the game, he was like, I turned around to see where my teammates were to come celebrate with me, and I saw them in a full-on brawl. I'm like, what?
They got to skate over there. But I think that makes sense if you want to get he came out of college last year. He didn't have quite the year he wanted in college, and he got to taste the NHL. I think that makes sense to put him in Rockford just to get him going in pro hockey and not as a hard landing of, I mean, where are they going? Florida and Boston the first two games? Like, yeah. That's pretty getting thrown right into the fire. So that makes sense to me, what you're saying. And I mean, Lafferty's a guy, I didn't think he'd be in the lineup like you were saying, but you could always, he's always a guy that if young guys overtake him, it's not like he needs to be in the lineup. He can kind of bounce back and forth. So
right. With Moore, I do want to give him his flowers. He has had a really strong training mm-hmm. camp, and that even started in the rookie showcase in Minnesota when he scored the overtime winner in that game. So he has put together a very strong training camp.
That's what you want to see.
100%. The problem isn't, is he good enough to be one of the 12 players? Because if we're answering that based on, is he one of the 12 best forwards on Chicago right now? I would say yes. The problem is, you don't want him to start in the NHL where everyone's fresh right now, right? Well, depending on the Blashill's training camp has been really hard. There are a lot of sore players in that locker room.
I'm tired watching them.
Yeah, but we're saying as fresh as they could be as far as the season hasn't started yet. Like, you don't want Moore to start the season in the NHL, and then by the end of November, he really hits a wall, and then it's like, oh, we'd rather he actually be developing through this in Rockford and not the NHL, and then he finds himself on the outskirts, and then it's hard. So I will say he's had a really strong training camp, but I think it's an encouraging sign that he might be closer to NHL ready than maybe originally thought. When I say NHL ready, I mean to be a full-time NHL player.
Right.
So I think if you're the Hawks, if you send him down to Rockford and he starts a year there, you can put in the back of your mind, okay, maybe this could be an earlier call-up than we originally expected, depending on how things go. So that's how I would handicap it up front. Defenseman is interesting because it feels like the top six, the six spots are pretty much solidified. Alex Vlasic and Sam Renzel have been on a pairing the last several days, and they finished last year together. Wyatt Kaiser and Levshinov have been together all training camp. And then Ethan Del Mastro and Connor Murphy seem to be making up that third pairing, which leaves four defensemen right now for a spot or two. It's Louis Crevier, Kevin Korchinski, Nolan Allen, and Matt Grzelcyk, who's on a PTO. So I wouldn't be surprised here if Korchinski and Allen are likely going to get sent to Rockford. I think Korchinski still needs a little bit more seasoning. Plus, if your six defensemen are already solidified, I don't see the point in carrying Korchinski as like the seventh defenseman. Like, you want him to be playing.
Yeah, you want him to play.
Right. And not just playing, you want him to be playing important minutes. So might as well just send him back down. And then if there's an injury or two throughout the season and you feel like you really need him contributing to the roster and he would be playing significant minutes, then you can call him up. But so I think Korchinski, Allen are going to start the year in Rockford. I actually have liked Matt Grzelcyk to the point where I wouldn't be opposed to signing him to a contract and then carrying eight defensemen, because Louis Crevier is kind of like, he's a guy that I think he's an ideal seventh defenseman where he can step into the lineup and provide you some decent minutes. But with Matt Grzelcyk too, like, he has that veteran presence where if you're scratching him on a nightly basis, it's not a huge deal. So I honestly wouldn't be opposed to signing Matt Grzelcyk and actually carrying eight defensemen. And it also potentially prevents, you know, if the Hawks have an injury, which actually, speaking of, Alex Vlasic suffered an injury in the yesterday's preseason game. He's ruled day to day with a lower body injury. I looked at the video and I don't know what happened, but it looked like he might have gotten sliced in the near the ankle area, because it looked like he took a skate and then he immediately looked down at his leg and he started skating to the bench. It seemed to be like concerned about something that happened. Fortunately, the Hawks are calling it day to day. We'll know more tomorrow because it feels like they needed an extra day to evaluate things. But I guess my point is, if the Hawks suffer an injury like in the first week of the season,
changes everything.
Because you'd be like, oh man, it'd be nice to have Matt Grzelcyk here, because now we got to call someone up from Rockford where they might not be ready yet for this role. And so I wouldn't be surprised to signing Matt Grzelcyk and carrying him as like the eighth defenseman.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when they signed him and he was just still kind of out there and brings solid experience. And if he's okay with that seventh defenseman role, he might as well give him that full contract. I mean, at this point, if he waited out that long, if you give him a NHL contract, he's probably going to be all on board with what you want to do. And a lot of young defensemen that they have to shuffle through. So hopefully maybe he could even help coach them along, you know, as the season goes on. If he's in and out of the lineup, that would probably be ideal. Like you said, if there's an injury, you kind of want that veteran guy instead of forcing a young guy into a spot you don't want him, like you were saying.
Right. So with the forwards, the way we have it now, I think that we're carrying 13 forwards. We're going to have eight defensemen and Spencer Knight and Arvid Soderblom. So we're going to carry a full 23 if Jack and I were running the show. That would be our roster. But it's like if the Hawks wanted to carry 22, I think the easy answer is Grzelcyk, you know, doesn't sign a contract and he's free to go somewhere else. But I don't mind this. And I think with the Blackhawks, they want to give the keys to the young players. So you don't want, again, like, if we're carrying eight defensemen, the eighth defenseman is going to be a veteran. It's not going to be, oh, let's just keep Norlin Allen here and he could be the eighth defenseman. And now you got both Crevier and Allen not playing. And it's like, well, you know, that's not a winning situation for both the team or the player. Goaltenders, really quick, obviously, Spencer Knight, Arvid Soderblom. Man, I've really liked what I've seen from the Blackhawks pipeline lately. The way Drew Commesso finished last season in Rockford and the way he performed in the preseason game the other day against Minnesota, Arvid Soderblom was terrific. Stanislav Bereznoy, that we saw him at the rookie showcase, he was sensational. I mean, the Hawks pipeline quietly went from like, I'm not sure, to they might be assembling a really good goaltending crop. And it really started with the Spencer Knight acquisition. And then since the Spencer Knight acquisition, that coincided with Drew Commesso going on a ridiculous run with Rockford.
It's and like then it fired him up, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know what it did. I mean, he was sensational. And then in the offseason, the Hawks signed Stan Bereznoy, and I stood next to him in Minnesota when we were at the rookie showcase. He is a massive dude and athletic. So I low-key, you heard it here first, I low-key think he could be a player down the road for Chicago and a potential 1B option if things don't pan out with the other ones ahead of him in the depth chart. But really like what Chicago is assembling between the pipes.
I like that hot take right off the bat. There we go. I mean, when I saw they signed him, I thought it was more Rockford depth, but you've been talking about him to me off the air for a couple weeks. So
yeah,
that's going to be fun to watch down in Rockford. Two good goaltenders.
Shh, don't tell anyone though. He might be a player. All right. We got one more break to get to. And on the other side, we'll talk about some of the ups and downs of Artem Lefshinov. Really liked what how he performed it in the bounce back game yesterday. But you're listening to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Pat Boyle and I on the latest Blackhawks Breakaway podcast. We were talking about Artem Levchinov, the ups and downs. Oh, by the way, that clip is sponsored by Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. Pat and I do two podcasts a week for CHSN, so go ahead and check out that latest episode. We were talking about Artem Levchinov in that clip, and he had a tough game against Detroit in the preseason. And, you know, in today's day and age, it feels like you can basically watch every single shift of every single player, whether they're in juniors, the AHL, the NHL, and you have to allow those players to make mistakes and not be able to dissect every single shift and be concerned if he has a bad game or if he has a tough shift or whatever. Like, the point I made on the podcast was Duncan Keith spent 2 years in the minors for Chicago, two full years. But when he was in the minors, nobody really was able to watch those games. And so he was allowed to make the mistakes and nobody ever saw it. And so with Levchinov, it feels like every shift is really critiqued, and with any player, really. And so I think with him, you have to just be mindful that he is going to make some mistakes like any young player, but he's one of those players that he's really fun to watch because his upside is very high, but he also makes some plays where you hold your breath. And so that's it's going to be some of the growing pains that we're going to see with him this year, as far as you might see some of those mistakes in the NHL, but it's like not to be too concerned because it's like you want him to work through that. Like, if he was in college last year, we don't really see any of those mistakes, and it's not really a talking point for any of us in Chicago. So let's just like be a little bit patient with Levchinov. I think having a full year in the NHL, I think he'll benefit from playing with some of the guys like Wyatt Kaiser and Sam Rinzell and Alex Vlasic. Just seeing the way they operate and being around them, I think, is going to be healthy for him. So, no concern for me on Artem Levchinov. Really quick, we were talking about the Florida Panthers on opening night and the Blackhawks facing them. They're going to be without Alexander Barkov, but also without Matthew Tkachuk, who's out with a torn adductor muscle, and he had sports hernia surgery as well. So he's going to be out until December. Likely going to be back for the Olympics for Team USA in February, so that's good news for the Americans. But obviously tough news for the Florida Panthers. But I already saw the jokes being made about Barkov being ready for the playoffs. They've actually instilled a rule already. The new CBA doesn't kick in until next year, but the LTIR situation changed this year. So if Florida is preparing for him to potentially be an option in the playoffs, they have to create that cap space for him in the regular season. They can't burn it all in the regular season, because if they do, then he's ineligible to play in the playoffs. So I just wanted to make that known, because obviously the LTIR situation, long-term injured reserve situation, has been a talking point with the Florida Panthers not just the Florida Panthers, but with the Tampa Bay Lightning as well. And so that loophole is going to be closed in the next CBA, but it's already being closed this year for especially a team like Florida. All right, good show, fun show. We had Mike Palm on from Circa. That was fun. Thanks, as always, to Jack Heinrich, my guy. Blackhawks preseason game tomorrow at home at the United Center. Looking forward to it. Thanks for listening to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. We'll catch you next time.